The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, diligently taking notes for the show, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, and somewhat diligently as possible.
Yeah. What were you showing off on your little writing pad when you first got
here? You don't want to see that. You don't want. We'll discuss that off the air.
It's
a job I'm working on that's none too dignified.
Oh, interesting.
He's working on his grocery list, I think.
No, trust me, it's none too dignified.
He's drawing cartoons of the groceries he needs to buy later.
No, actually, I do that.
Yes, you do.
It's easier for me to remember. I'm a visual guy.
All right, I didn't realize I was stepping in it there, but apparently.
Oh no, you'll understand once we go off the air.
Okay.
Then you'll be like, why did I ask?
Well, let's hope I don't have to do that.
We think that frequently.
Yes.
Across the table from me, we have a special guest panelist. Professor Stephen Manning is here from Political Science.
Still a special guest?
Still?
Yeah, you're a special guest.
After all this time.
This is it, though. We have to turn in your card after this.
Yeah, so I'll do
the,
so.
The hazing hasn't even started yet. So I
mean, that's right.
Yeah. How much does he have to pay you, Jim?
Oh, well, we'll get into that later.
Stephen, what courses are you teaching this semester?
My political theory class.
Fun.
Maybe my favorite.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. You don't really have anything to talk about in that class, so, you know, it must be really boring.
So you're reading Leo Strauss and what else?
We were just hearing you talk about a couple of the last books that you read, and one was about the end of democracy, so that's the direction we're heading here today. Lack of unity. Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
I'm being undiligent.
Because Dave is being diligent doesn't mean you're being undiligent.
Well, I'm being the reflection of diligent.
The antithesis.
Oh my gosh, I appreciated hearing your take on our recent. I don't even know if we can call it a snow day, right? It was more of a cold
ice day.
Mm-hmm. How many days were you guys closed down?
One. Well, an evening, and then the next day. And even though the post office was closed, UPS wouldn't deliver. Every other university in the area was closed.
University of Michigan has closed 3 times
in 70
40 years.
Yeah.
And this was the third time.
We closed.
And we were open
for 4 days.
I was shocked.
I was surprised by that too, actually.
Four days. I don't think in the 30 plus years I've been at CCS, I've seen CCS shut down 4 days, and much less in a row.
Incredible. Professor Kendra Evans is also at the table. You've already heard her voice, but now she's been introduced.
Hi. Melting tones.
The melting tones.
Professor Kendra Evans.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
I completely, as you and I have already discussed, appreciated you sort of running down how your week was, managing what to do with the kids. Like, you know, you and I had that in common. And you're like, and of course, I just assumed that the university would be closed on Thursday. So I waited to write my exam to that day. But now we're open. So
just
I can't
like
write my exam.
All of the students that waited until that day to study for the exams that were supposed to be on that day. And
then,
PCHEM exam. I mean, you could pretty much walk into a physical chemistry exam and not study, right?
At some level, but I don't
just
know.
Just kidding. Poor students.
Poor students. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, even the wave-particle duality. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Find us on Facebook or ask for us by name. Accept no substitutes from your smart speaker. If you're already listening to me and I say out loud, okay, Google, play the last episode of Ask the Professor, it may just start happening in this episode. We have a set of questions sent to us by Professor J.J. Roach, and he has sent us some questions regarding popular music. Let's see what we got going on here. Esteemed colleagues, my hectic parenting schedule once again prevents me from sharing fun times with you in the basement of Briggs. So I thought I'd send you what is a fun bunch of questions. Given the feedback some of my previous questions have stumped you, I'll lower my standards and say 70 is passing. That's reasonable. 70%.
Oh, I was going to say 70.
Yeah.
This batch of questions
is taken from popular music, chart history, and song lyrics. I hope to stump you because I can't wait to see your mugs again soon. Pun intended. Enjoy. Let's see
Jim,
what we can do with
these questions. They better be Christmas.
Or 60s.
Yeah.
I think I can prod you a little bit with some help, because this definitely is you know, 80s, 90s, 2000s sort of era stuff. And I'm going to lie, apparently, with the first question, which is the recording artist that had the most number one hits during the 2010s so far? Can we call it the teens? Whatever. I don't know. Who has been the top recording artist by sales? It's not Beyonce, but it is a...
female?
A female soloist.
Rihanna.
It's Rihanna is who it is.
Oh,
Rihanna,
really?
Yes.
9 number one hits during the decade, which is not even over yet.
Oh,
she's still got
goodness.
Time.
Not over yet.
She's going to pad it.
Can you name any other single
no.
artist... partial credit. From this decade... to have had more than 5. There are 3 who had more than 5 number one hits. Not Rihanna.
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey is not on the list.
What? Taylor Swift.
Did you
Taylor
say from
Swift
the same time era?
Is below 5. So the
below
same
5.
Era. Same time
okay.
era.
Beyonce.
Beyonce is not on the list.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga is not on the
wow.
list.
Wow. Okay, hold on.
It's a female.
I have a female soloist, a male soloist who works with a lot of different groups, and another male soloist.
Drake?
Drake is one of them, yes.
Oh,
it's right. to
yeah.
name one, so I'm giving you credit
oh,
cool. for that.
Oh, wow.
The other two were Bruno Mars.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Katy Perry, the
Katy
inimitable
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry's more
than Beyonce and Lady Gaga?
8. Wow. She had 8 number ones during the 2010s, if you can believe
I
it.
I mean, she is good, but people did not love her Super Bowl.
So 5 or less would be Justin Bieber. We heard Taylor Swift, Adele, Eminem, Kesha, The Weeknd, Maroon 5, and Cardi B have all had more than just a couple.
Wow.
What recording artist had the most number one hits in the 2000s? It's a male soloist. I could give it away in 2 seconds by saying The Fall of the House of
Usher.
Usher. It was Usher. It was 7 number ones. Rihanna and Beyonce both had 5 in the 2000s. So even if I sort of bait the answer out of you, I'm giving you guys full credit. You know what I mean? That's just the way it works. 2 different songs have spent 16 weeks at the top of the Billboard Hot 100 chart. The first was in 95-96, and the second was in 2017. Can you name either of them? The 95-96 was Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Okay.
And the other one was in the 1990, what's this?
That was 95-96, and the other one is 2017. Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. No one could escape
Despacito.
That. Despacito.
Oh,
no one
could
escape
I
that
love
song.
Love Despacito.
The summer of 2017, yes.
Okay, absolutely. And the 95-96 was Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey's One Sweet Day was the name of the
one
song.
One Sweet Day.
Classic Mariah Carey. Two songs share the record for most weeks at number 2, but never making it to number 1. In 81-82, Foreigner's Waiting for a Girl Like You was number 2 for 10 weeks, but never broke through. In 02-03, Missy Elliott's Work It was number 2 for 10 weeks
That's
without making
so
it to number
good.
1. What were the two songs, 81-82, 2002-2003, that kept them out of number 1?
Jenny from the Block. Jennifer Lopez.
Let's see. I have to flip the page. I probably should be doing a little bit better. No, but you. I guarantee that both of you know the songs that were at number 1 where these ones were waiting at number 2.
Cyndi Lauper?
No, no. We got an 82-83 and a 2002-2003.
Michael Jackson.
Nope.
Prince?
I'll give you the artist. Let's see if you can figure out for 81-82. It was Olivia Newton-John.
Physical?
Let's get physical.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know that best from Saved by the Bell.
And a song that you could not escape. I want you to think about the year, 2002, 2003.
The Chicken Dance.
No. Considering it was performed by a local Dunwell from the movie 8 Mile.
Eminem's Lose Yourself?
Eminem.
Lose Yourself.
Oh, that little ditty 16 years ago.
That's right.
Not that I'm counting or anything like that. Just I worked on the video.
Let's see here.
My only Grammy now.
Let's see here. What song had the most time spent in within the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100? It was 2017 is the clue by Ed Sheeran.
Oh, the one about the castle? Oh, no.
Not the photograph one. That's before. That's after that.
I've never heard this song before. I'm really, really embarrassed. It says Shape of You is
oh,
the
yes,
end of the song.
Yes.
By
that
Ed
was
Sheeran.
A good song.
Yeah, my bad.
Sorry. That's still popular. Yeah. They're still playing that.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear his accent.
He did that on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, so
oh, yeah,
right.
I could imagine that, yeah.
For over 2 years, this song has set the record for a total weeks within the top 100 from 2013 by Imagine Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Describing a concept of nuclear breakdown.
Fusion, fission, something.
Almost there. Very popular song. The name of the song was Radioactive, was what it was called.
I
could not escape that song for a while. Let me just say that. What song spent the most time on the chart before it actually got to number one? Clue, it was 1995, and you've probably done it at a wedding.
The Chicken Dance, Macarena.
It's the Macarena.
It had to be one of those god-awful things.
Remember Al Gore trying to do the Macarena? Gosh.
I don't...
That was the era of the Macarena.
It was on the chart.
But could anyone do it
that
well?
That slide, the slide one?
Oh, electric slide.
Yeah, that shows up at weddings.
Macarena was on the chart for 33 weeks before it finally got to number one.
That 34 is, too many.
Yeah, that is...
It's amazing that it got to number one.
Yeah, it is amazing. That
That's weird.
I know you guys know this because you've already mentioned it. From 1990 to 2000, what artists have had the most consecutive years with a number one? 11 straight years.
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey, yeah. She's a beast.
A powerhouse.
A powerhouse, absolutely. What was the shortest song that ever got into the Billboard Hot 100? Clue, it's 45 seconds long, and in just a couple days, it had over 200 million views on YouTube.
Baby Shark.
Baby Shark is a very, very good guess.
Oh, what's that one?
But it was only 45 seconds long. 45 Even Baby Shark's a couple minutes long. I don't even know what to say because this was the very beginning of Billboard allowing memes and viral videos to get into the Hot 100, even if they weren't technically songs. It was performed by Pico Taro. It was just a couple years ago. I want to say it was 2017.
So what was...
Was it political in nature?
No, it was nonsensical. Reached number 77. Are you ready? Pen, Pineapple, Apple Pen was the name of it.
Wait a minute, Jim, wasn't that your dissertation?
Yes. I mean... The entire song is the guy showing you a pen and a pineapple, and he sticks the pen in the pineapple and goes, pen, pineapple. Then he takes a pen and an apple and sticks them together and goes, apple pen. Then he takes both and goes, pen, pineapple, apple pen.
That is the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Wait a minute. This is how Trump got elected, right? I mean.
It's connected. It's got to be connected.
Yeah, it's got to be connected.
Oh, gosh. All right, here we go. What's the longest song that ever reached into the Billboard Hot 100, charted at number 78 in 2016 by a famous artist who unfortunately died the same year? 9 minutes, 57
Prince?
Seconds.
Song by Prince?
No, Prince, but you're in the wheelhouse. Very famous.
George Michael?
Died
in 2016.
Was it like a Michael Jackson?
I don't think I'm going to give it away if I give you the title of the track. It's Black Star. It was essentially the last.
Oh, David Bowie's.
David Bowie, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, that's right. He released it 2 days before he died or something like that. Yeah.
Almost 10 minutes long. Huh. That's incredible.
Yeah. Interesting album.
Unbelievable. Let's see here. What is the longest song ever to reach number one on the Hot 100? There's a classic movie from 1999 with the same title.
Prince?
Mm-mm.
No.
8 minutes and 37 seconds in length, performed by Don McLean.
American Pie.
There we go. Yeah. That is a long song.
Yeah, when you put all the verses
really
in there, it
no, that's
forever.
One of those DJ bathroom songs.
But they're all
DJ
big,
bathroom.
No, no. Absolutely. They used to do that. Remember, like, okay, I got to put on a record so I can go use the little boys' room.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense to me. Who were the original members of the band Kiss, and what were the names of the characters they wore when they were in their makeup?
Paul Stanley was Ace. Ace Frehley.
Hold on. Ace Frehley was
Star Child.
Paul Stanley was the Star Child.
Star Child, okay.
Ace Frehley was the Space God.
Space God.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Simmons was the Demon.
He was the Demon. And?
What am I missing?
Oh, my gosh.
Peter Criss was the Cat.
Was the Cat. You got them all. He's the man. Detroit
and they're
Rock
actually
City.
Having a major feud right about now. Ace Frehley accused Gene Simmons of groping his wife.
Oh, jeez.
Because there's, the last tour again, and he says he won't do it.
Incredible.
Oh,
but they've also got somebody else in his makeup.
Oh, well, that's not surprising.
That's kind of skeezy.
Weirder things have happened. Speaking of the band Kiss, the band uses an alternate logo on merchandise in Germany, Hungary, Austria, Switzerland, Poland, Lithuania, and Israel. Do you know why?
Does Kiss stand for something else over there that's less savory?
No, it's actually just the shape of the letters.
It's something offensive.
It's definitely not good.
Oh.
The two S's in Kiss.
Oh, look, oh, the SS.
Yes, look like the SS. Yes. Oh, this is incredible. I probably already gave too much away. How many number one hits has Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band had?
None.
Zero.
What?
Dancing in the Dark and Born in the USA peaked at number two and never broke through.
Wow. No
never
way.
Broke through. Isn't that incredible?
There must have been some awfully good songs on the charts back then.
Born in the USA?
I'd have to say so. Last one from Professor J.J.R., not to be confused with J.J.J.J.R. Tolkien or whatever it is. What song title has appeared the most on the Billboard Hot 100? It's appeared in 16 songs. Santana had a song with the title in 1982, but you probably remember Wilson Phillips reached number one
with
Hold On. Hold On is the number one song, title of all time. There's only a certain number of titles, you know what I mean? All right.
Oh, Matt's shuffling papers around over
shuffling
there.
Papers.
That was fun.
That was definitely super cool. We like it when people make connections for us, and it looks like our old friend Charlie B is back with something else. Holy smokes, Charlie B. 9 of 10 for a passing grade?
Whoa.
This is incredible.
90% passing?
90%. Whoa. Each set of the four people below, real and fictitious, have something in common. Find the connection.
They're bipedal.
Their DNA is made out of carbon atoms.
Yes, they live on Earth.
This one's called Four of a Kind. Here we go. Denny McLean, Al Kaline, Earl Wilson, Mickey Lolich.
All play for the Tigers.
Which Tigers?
68.
The 68ers.
Wait a minute. Yes. Al Kaline?
Al Kaline is
I'm
his
hearing
name.
Alkaline.
Alkaline.
Yes. That was
awesome.
That was a running joke.
That's basic. That's so awesome.
Oh,
I never heard of Al Kaline.
No, they wanted him to change his name back in the day.
Oh, that's so
because
cool.
Because he thought, oh, geez, here's a joke, but
that's a great joke.
That must have been his last year or close to it.
68?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I mean, he had a couple more seasons.
No,
after
he played
that,
longer. He played after that. I remember watching him as a kid. Yeah.
Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin,
all
Jim
died
Morrison.
At the age of 27?
Yes, the 27 Club. Not a good club to be a part of. Not at all. All right, things are getting a little more, a little edgier.
Oh,
edgier.
Stuart Redman, Paul Edgecombe, Annie Wilkes, Charlie McGee. You've heard these names before.
Irish Rovers.
No.
Non-Irish Rovers.
No.
Darn.
Edgecombe, yeah, that's reasonable. McGee, yeah, you know. These are all fictitious people.
All right, what was the Edgecombe name?
Stuart Redman, Paul Edgecombe, Annie Wilkes, Charlie McGee. If I remember correctly, oh, I don't want to get this wrong.
Okay,
no, I'm not going to make a
they
fool
were
of myself.
Encyclopedia Brown's best friends.
No.
No.
Only
the lead
Sally.
Character
yeah,
in several books by the same author.
95% credit. They're all lead characters from Stephen King novels. So, yeah, that's exactly right as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. Cujo didn't make the list?
Nope. I want to say Paul Edgecombe was Tom Hanks' character in The Green Mile, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Hmm. Wait, did Stephen King write that?
Yeah.
I thought he did. Yeah, I think he wrote The Green Mile.
I couldn't remember.
Who else would have made Electrocution that grisly? I mean, really.
Thomas Edison?
Yeah,
no,
well, that's...
No, in fact, he wanted to be disconnected from the idea.
Oh, well, he and Tesla weren't exactly buddy buddies.
Yes, he advocated alternating current for the electric chair so that he wouldn't be connected
good
with it.
Good old Sparky.
What do these four have in common? Judy Garland, Barbara Streisand, Janet Gaynor, Lady Gaga.
They've all been in A Star Is Born.
A Star Is
the lead.
Born. A Star Is Born. Many Oscar nominations for that 2018 movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Martin Luther King Jr., Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, Henry Kissinger.
They've all won the Nobel Prize?
The Nobel
Peace Prize.
Peace Prize.
Not the chemistry one.
Yes. Not the literature one.
No. Not the literature one. Wait, now, is that the one that was suspended? Was the literature
No, was that
suspended?
The Bob Dylan one? Wasn't
Bob
it?
Dylan
yeah.
won
yeah,
the literature prize. That's right. Amy Adams, Glenn Close, Julianne Moore, Deborah Kerr.
Deborah Kerr.
Wait, what was the first one again?
Amy Adams, very recent.
Lois Lane? They all played Lois Lane?
No. but they are definitely...
Starred in a musical movie?
You're getting closer. Getting closer.
Amy Adams, who are the others again?
Glenn Close, Julianne Moore, Deborah Kerr.
They all played like a...
They're all actresses,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, what, they were like vice presidents or presidents or something like that?
No. It's actually, this would be a real quantity, not a fictitious quantity.
Oh, they all
think
won.
Think about their Academy Award records.
Oh.
They've never won?
I thought there would be enough. They've never won, but they all have the same number of nominations, which is not listed here, but they've never actually won
any of those. I think Glenn Close may this year. The wife is really, really good.
I've heard it's
and
very,
wasn't
very
Amy
good.
Adams nominated too? For something this year?
The Alien movie, maybe? I don't know.
I thought I saw her name.
I haven't
seen
the movie in so long, I couldn't even tell you anymore.
I couldn't tell you anything about that.
How about John Schuster, Tyler George, Matt Hamilton, John Landsteiner? A year ago, you could not escape these names. Do you remember who they are now? John Schuster, Tyler George, Matt Hamilton, John Landsteiner.
These fictional?
Nope, they are real peeps.
They're political pundits?
They are heroes of Dan Maggio. How does that sound?
They're math geeks.
No.
They're foodies.
They're Lego people.
They're not Lego. They're not math. They're not food. They must be...
Oh, a curler.
Curling.
Yes, it's our gold medal curling team.
Oh.
Yay.
Sorry, I only follow that other teams.
2018 U.S. men's gold medal curling team. Oh, I didn't even think about needling Dave about it. Oh, well, I'll have to do it some other time. Mitt Romney. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Sarah Palin, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Failed vice presidents.
I don't remember Arnie running, but no. You're getting close. There's something they
governors,
all have in common.
Governors.
They're governors.
They can see Russia from their backyard.
Yeah, they're all governors.
You read the names again. Palin.
So Mitt Romney was Massachusetts.
Yeah.
FDR was New York. Sarah Palin, Alaska.
For a while.
Schwarzenegger.
California.
Thank you.
Yes, ooh. Yes.
Now, here's a question. Can Arnold Schwarzenegger be nominated for vice president, even though he's not born here?
I don't know.
I know president, you have to be born here, right?
But let's just not go down that road.
Okay, all right. That's true. All right. You forget, I'm skipping north and building a wall, so.
Oh, yeah, right.
Let's not give him any ideas.
I can't.
He'll be back.
I think an ice canal would be more appropriate.
Everybody can skate in the ice canal, I hope so.
Hey. Windsor was open for business all week long. They don't even care, you know.
Like I said, I didn't think it was that bad. I was shocked when the school was closed for 4 days. So
okay.
I'm just blown away.
Let's do...
I think the tunnel was closed, though.
For construction.
That is true. That was construction, yeah.
It wasn't for weather, really.
One more here. Whoopi Goldberg, Buddy Hackett, Joan Rivers, Dom DeLuise.
They were all on Hollywood Squares.
They were the center square on Hollywood Squares.
No Paul Lynde?
That's a big deal. No Paul Lynde.
Oh, hold out on that one.
I know. Very, very
well. Dom DeLuise?
Dom DeLuise. That's classic stuff. Profs, it's time for us to talk a little bit about, we've gotten some suggestions from our vast producer crew for ATP favorites. So let's go around the table with a favorite TV show of your youth. Now, we're going to let Dave either go first or last.
No, let me go last. I got too many rummage through my head.
You have way too many things on that list. If I just go Gilligan's Island, it's just going to like blow your...
Oh, see, I can't even pick that as a favorite.
Okay, so favorite TV show of your youth, Kendra?
You know, I enjoyed Bewitched.
Okay.
Which was syndicated, and it played in the morning, and then when it was done, that's how I knew to go to the bus. It was followed by
as a timer?
Little House on the Prairie.
I love it.
So when I hear the Little House on the Prairie theme song, I think, I better get to the bus. Time
well,
for school.
You run down that hill in your sundress, right?
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. That is totally awesome.
Childhood. Well, I liked the Beverly Hillbillies, and I liked the Addams Family.
Yeah, cool.
In looking at them now, the Addams Family had a really wonderful message about inclusion and accepting people.
Strange as you were, they still loved you.
Flies over your head as a child, but as an adult, I appreciate it.
And the eccentricities and the collection of stuff they had.
Yeah.
I would have loved to just like, the show's done. Can I buy all those props?
Exactly.
I mean, I've always wanted to know, like, whatever happened to the Marlin with a foot in it?
They did make and marketed a light bulb you could stick in your mouth and it would light up. I got one of those
Dan's got one, too.
Christmas.
Uncle Fester. You know Dan's gone as Uncle Fester before.
Yeah, I haven't.
Really?
Yes.
Halloween?
You haven't seen that picture of him?
I guess I haven't.
Oh, dear Lord. He's gone as Uncle Fester.
Oh, my gosh. Steven.
I got two, only because they were both on Thursday night, and I won't explain to you why Thursday. And that was important. But one of them was My Three Sons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
which
great
resonated
theme.
Because I'm in the middle of three boys.
Okay.
All 2 years apart. So we're very close. And I think that we probably watched that even subconsciously saying, what is another family that's kind of like ours look like?
But what a great theme song on that one, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Robbie
yes.
and Chip. And what was the other one?
Yeah, Robbie and Chip.
The older one we didn't see very much.
The father
was... It was like Chuck Cunningham.
Fred McMurray.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fred McMurray.
Fred McMurray.
And the one after that was... Richard Chamberlain played Dr. Kildare.
Dr. Kildare.
Dr. Kildare.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He was a doctor, very handsome, played a doctor on that show and had some interesting cases.
Okay.
The time that Yvette Mimieux was on there and played
that's
the surfer.
That's the one I'm thinking of, and the surfer who had epilepsy.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I can remember now. And she'd be on this thing. He told her not to do it. She went out anyway, and there's a scene where she's on this thing, and her eyelids start
Fluttering
because she's having a seizure, and of course she falls off. She ends up waking up, and the very, very handsome Dr. Kildare is looking at her, you know, kind of brings her back to life.
Wow.
Yes, that was probably the most famous episode of that whole show.
Unbelievable.
Dr. Kildare. And I think we watched that because my mother really was into Richard Chamberlain as in Dr. White's.
That's right. So if my mother, speaking of mothers, were here, I'm sure she would say that in my extreme youth, I never missed an episode of The Dukes of Hazzard and The Muppet Show. So I'm pretty sure that covers all the bases. That Dukes of Hazzard would have been Friday night because we really had nothing to do on Fridays in the 80s and had to sit through Dance Fever if you wanted to watch The Muppet Show, and it was the most excruciating 30 minutes of my life.
Do you remember Janet Jones, one of the dancers?
How many Muppet
Mrs.
shows?
Mrs. Wayne Gretzky was one of the dancers.
No.
Oh, was it Motion?
That's right.
One of the two ladies?
All right, Dave, we've given you just enough time.
All right, I'm thinking, just because I still enjoy watching them now, Green Acres. Because the thing I think that got me about that was that they always have these reoccurring jokes that the more you watch it, the more they would come back. You know, and I don't know, I just like the fact that they built
the fellow
up.
That was always trying to sell him stuff.
Haney. Eustace Haney.
Mr. Haney.
Yeah.
Eustace Haney.
Pat Buttram. What a great name.
And, of course, Petticoat Junction
Petticoat Junction
came off of that show.
Beverly Hillbillies, they're all interconnected. They always had, like, you know,
characters
cameos showing up. Sam Drucker was the only one that showed up in all three.
But Ava Gabor was just great.
Oh, remember? Her best talent was doing imitations of Zsa Zsa.
All I'm saying is this is a special day that we can sort of put you in a box and get you to answer that question with one show. That's kind of a big deal.
I still had about four or five more in reserve, but I'll figure out. That's one I still enjoy. You know, like WKRP was also another one.
Of course.
You never jumped the shark.
That's right.
And then, I don't know, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley even.
Those were good, yes. I love Laverne and Shirley.
Pre-jumping the shark.
Right. Pre-actually jumping the shark.
Yes, literally.
I'm afraid that our episode today is Jump the Shark, and it's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Evans.
Bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Manning.
Good evening.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
ATP is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.